Hi, we're millennial marketing and technology experts working exclusively with associations. This is Rethink Association, where we dissect the emerging research on how to revamp your approach to appeal to Gen Y and Z, to thrive and to stay relevant in today's streaming mobile world.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us for episode 4, Rethink Association. Today, we want to talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion, otherwise known as DEI, in associations. And younger generations today are a lot more diverse and tend to have higher expectations around this topic. They really want to see progress, and if it isn't made, associations might start to see a decline in membership over time. And I know that at High Road, we're hearing clients starting to approach their content differently, trying to think of strategies that can fit in messaging around DEI, and generally, just how can we be more diverse? How can we be more inclusive in speaking to our members and then also internally within the association? Today, we've invited a special guest, Tony Gentry, who is a product owner of email marketing automation at Rotary International. And he'll be talking with us about some of the DEI initiatives and progress within his organization, as well as some observations of how associations are responding to this topic as a whole. Tony, thanks so much for joining us today. You're actually our very first guest on this podcast, so we're super excited to have you. Let's just start off, if you could give us a little background on what Rotary is.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you guys for having me on. So Rotary is a global organization that really sees, you know, the world as a place where we can unite and take action to make lasting change, both in our communities as well as from the global level. If you were to Google us or if you were to look us up, you would probably see a lot of information regarding the eradication of polio. That has been our big push for over 30 years now. And I would love to say that, you know, we're very close from where we started, you know, back in 30 years ago. But we're also much more diverse than that. And that includes, you know, clean water initiatives, you know, just keeping the health and welfare of our world a lot more tidy, and being able to be active from either your local community as well as from the world. So just making the world a little bit better every day.
And can you tell us a little bit about what you do specifically for Rotary?
Yeah, so I am the product owner of our email and our marketing automation tool, Adestra. So I really work on the email side, email and analytics side. So just understanding, just getting the information out that we need to from an email medium to our members, and then also understanding how we can best get that information to them in an engaging way, making sure that we're not just pushing the same rhetoric out every day, but that we're getting engaging information, engaging content, and making sure that our members feel heard and are able to engage overall with the organization at a top line level.
Very cool. And I know we've really enjoyed working with you as you build out some of those strategies for your email program. So our perspective is that the younger generations kind of coming up in their careers, joining the workforce, they have higher expectations for organizations and businesses to be more socially aware, socially conscious, and progressive when it comes to diversity, equity, and inclusion. What challenges do you think associations are facing when it comes to becoming more progressive in the DEI movement?
Yeah, you know, I think it's just really right now a big disconnect between generations. I would say most associations, Rotary included, the demographic skews a lot older. And so I think a very hard part for Gen Zers, and then on the flip side for the older generations, are just the acceptance of those that age difference. On one side, you know, the Gen Zers are usually more comfortable, and this is for any generation, are more comfortable with more people around their age range or around their demographic. And so, you know, Gen Zers may see the older demographic as a little bit more stubborn to change or a little bit harder push to kind of get their ideas across or their voices heard. And on the flip side, the older demographic sometimes can, you know, view the Gen Zers or younger demographics as, you know, groups that are sometimes a little have too opinionated and want to make too much change in too little of time without maybe enough concentration. And it's really that hard entry level between those two of just understanding that both things can happen. Both areas bring something to the table, and how can we levy that to make sure that it's collaborative and then productive at the same time?
Would you say that associations are recognizing the younger generations that you point out, or do you think that there's still a lot of progress or room to kind of make those initiatives more of a priority?
I think there's always progress to be made, regardless of how much any push has been made. Currently, there's always going to be more progress. And I think the Gen Zers are very much so like, what have you done for me lately? And that's one of those pieces where we really have to understand that you can't make a small push and then kind of rest on those laurels. You have to be able to continue to adapt and continue to market to these younger generations so that they understand that this isn't a flash in the pan topic, but more so this is a long-term initiative that we want to foster and continue to grow with. And that, you know, DEI is just as important as, you know, the younger generation wants to see that you're not only accepting of all groups, religions, creeds, but also just fostering the needs of those groups. I think an example, you know, kind of going back to the general perspective question is, you know, one of the harder things that we've seen from a Rotary side sometimes is that, you know, with any young professional, it's hard to actually make time for the meetings or the requirements that come with the club, you know, meeting every Tuesday at noon or every Thursday at 7 a.m. doesn't always work for the younger generation. But that's like a staple of how our clubs and our organization was built on. So it's really like, how do we advance past that? For us, you know, it's looking at flexible scheduling hours so that, you know, everybody can feel included and that they're not feeling that since they can't make a meeting at the designated time, that they're not valuable enough for the organization long-term. So it's really just understanding, how can you adapt in those pieces with what the generation now is? Not everybody has those free hours or the scheduling that makes sense for how the organization is structured. So you have to adapt around them.
Absolutely. So what would you say from your perspective Rotary is doing in terms of their organization and how they're approaching it?
Yeah, I mean, I think like most associations, Rotary has, you know, put this kind of at the forefront of, you know, of concern of making sure that it is addressed. You know, for us, we really look at it from a multi-level view. We look at it both from the association level as well as from the staff level, making sure that internally and externally we're having consistent messaging and that we're pushing these things down so that everybody is on board. From an internal staff side, you know, we've rebranded some of our HR or people and talent group to become DEI specialists. So send them to DEI certifications, and like making sure that they get trainings to just be more equipped to levy down information regarding DEI. And then from that same token, we've, you know, recently started, you know, just different speaker series. For example, coming up in a few weeks, we'll have Illinois State Senator Tammy Duckworth will be having a speaker series with the organization. She was a former Rotary employee prior to, you know, her now endeavors, as you know, and she checks a lot of the important boxes overall in the DEI spectrum, from woman, from state senator, from being handicapped and or disabled, and, you know, and having those experiences that she can kind of explain to internal members, as well as just making sure that understanding of how that progression work and how she's kind of overcome any boundaries that she's dealt with in her life. And those are the kind of things that we want to make sure. One, getting people the understanding of why DEI is important. And then two, any boundaries that people may have experienced in that path to where they are right now, because we all know that it's not easy to overcome everything.
It sounds like Rotary has really committed to an organization-wide change. And I really like that idea of training DEI specialists to bring back those strategies for internal and external progress. What are some other tactics you've used to communicate these initiatives and changes to your members?
Yeah, I think, you know, with the help of High Road and marketing automation kind of coming down, it's a lot of that fostering. I think with a lot of associations, what usually can happen is that people become, you know, a small fish in a big pond. And so, you know, you join a club, you get the club experience, maybe that you want, maybe that you didn't want. But from the organization level, you might not always be contacted or really have a lot of touch base. And so being able to kind of foster and continue to push content that is relevant to those people throughout their tenure in the organization is very important. You know, not just kind of like, thank, we're glad you're here, you know, kind of find your way. It's really more of like, here's some more detail. Here's how you can get involved. And, you know, that's going to come from the club level, but not everything can possibly come from, you know, a club president of some sort. It has to be coming from the top down organization where we're pushing just different initiatives that are going on, different topics, the availability to just provide ideas that different, you know, areas can do, I think is very important, as well as just, you know, social media is always going to be a necessary push in this day and age where you have to be engaging with everybody on social media in some capacity so that they know and they can kind of see that what they hear within the club level is actually being pushed out to the full world span versus, you know, just seeing some things and not really knowing what's going on the overall scale. People want to know, people want to make sure that it's really of like, can it be seen? While, you know, you take your accolades and you're happy to do it while you're doing it, being able to be seen and get that recognition is very important in today's day and age.
So can you tell us a little bit about the way that you are disseminating information out to different groups and making sure that the content you're providing is relevant to those groups?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the bigger things that we've done as an organization is persona mapping. So really understanding how each area or each group really breaks down from a Rotarian. So, you know, Rotarian A through E, you know, they'll have different names and different like types based on different levels of engagement or different activities that they're involved in. This can vary from people that are maybe more donate heavy and are, you know, more focused on the business aspect, while other people might be more on the ground. So wanting to be very involved in the communities and to the activities that are going on. There's varying levels that you can be engaged within a club. But from that, obviously understanding that those high level priorities differ by country, by region. You know, what may be important in Japan or in the, you know, the Asia Pacific region may not be the same priorities that they have in Europe. And that may also differ from North America. And so from persona mapping, we were really able to really get a good idea of a base level of like maybe five different personas, but then how those personas differ by region. And from that, we were able to kind of put that into how we do our marketing pushes. We don't want to oversaturate certain areas with topics that really aren't, you know, high level for them or high priorities for them. But at the same time, we don't want that focus to be lost as that's an organizational push. So we want to make sure that we're catering our content or at least the level of our content so that high priority items are at least at the forefront of what they see when they receive information from us. And that we can kind of shift those around. So topic A, B, and C may be B, A, C, or C, A, B, in different orders when we're pushing our content. The content will always be there. And I think that's always important to understand that you don't want to not serve any content because the topic may not reach them, because it's going to reach somebody, and that's always important. But you want to make sure that you put the focus similar to how we would read a newspaper above the fold. Anything you want to read it above the fold. And that's what we value as the large call to action. So making sure that we're understanding that those shifts may happen as it relates to DEI. You know, as clubs become more diverse, those priorities will shift naturally because people, different generations are going to have different levels of priority. So what may be important today will be very different in 5 years because just the demographic has shifted so much in within the organization.
I hear these strategies that you're doing, they sound like the right things, like omni-channel, social media, and that you're really pivoting to the young generation for your long-term growth and even having that in mind. What would you say some of the success you're seeing, since you guys would probably be like I want to hold you up a little bit as an example for other organizations?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for example, so we have different like membership levels. So like a Rotarian, you know, is going to be at the 30 plus age range. So we have a membership level called Rotaract, which is for under 30 year olds. And, you know, what we've seen is a very large spike in the diversity in those groups, especially skewing, I believe, almost 51% female, which is not, you know, the overall breakdown of the organization, which, you know, that's a big push overall. But I think being able to see that the younger generation is more diverse within that membership level just really shows us that what we're doing is important overall, but that it does appeal to a wider span of demographics and is not kind of skewed to maybe what historically or most associations are skewed to demographically.
I think that must be very encouraging to see the data is actually backing up the efforts and strategies that you've been putting in place, and particularly seeing these younger generations coming in and having different demographics than maybe what you've seen traditionally in the past. How does Rotary plan to sustain these programs and continue that momentum that you've seen moving forward into the future?
Yeah, you know, I think, like we said, the DEI is a very hot topic right now. So, you know, while internally staff-wide, we want to make sure that everybody is at least understanding of why this is a big topic and why this continues to need to be a big topic, we also obviously have to do that from the association level. And, you know, some things that we're moving forward with is creating a global DEI task force. So these are going to be made up of, you know, high-ranking members within the association level, district governors, senior leaders, you know, people that really have authority and have the ability to disseminate down information that will be listened to. You know, I think our big focus, or any focus that should be, is with any kind of big topic like this, top-down dissemination is very important. Being able from a club level or regional level to see that your senior leaders are on board and find that this topic is important and is a big initiative creates a lot more buy-in for the local level, and being able to see like it is important to make these pushes, make these initiatives a high priority, and seeing ways that they can make those changes within their own local club. You know, again, getting that buy-in up top and then being able to disseminate that down will always be a great way to get overall buy-in throughout the organization.
Were there some lessons along the way that you could share with other organizations in getting some of those top-down initiatives or things that you have going on?
Yeah, I mean, I think the important thing will always be is don't lose momentum. As I said, you know, a lot of times this become a flash in the pan. And, you know, with DEI right now is a hot topic of focus, but a year from now, you know, the climate might die down and, you know, overall it will still be a big issue, but it might not just be at the forefront of what we see in the media or overall. But that can't stop you from making those changes, continuing to make those updates. And I think for us, that's why we want to continue that momentum and saying, you know, throughout the next 10 years, 15 years, DEI will always be a high level priority. While the topic or other topics may shift ahead of it slightly, it's never going to displace the importance of this and making sure that the members and or externally that is still seen. So, you know, making sure that we see that there's different DEI pushes, different DEI, you know, these speaker series, they don't just stop after this year. We continue those on, that the club levels continue to have different initiatives around the topic and that that can be seen throughout. Again, we never want to tokenize a topic or a situation, but we want to make sure that it is fostered. I think, you know, a good example, you know, at least from our internal side, which started maybe a little bit different view is, you know, women in Rotary were not, I guess, allowed into Rotary until 1987, and we've been around for over 100 years. And you know, that was very groundbreaking at the time. There was different reasons around that, and we're very happy that we've progressed to the status that we're at right now. And coming up in 2022, we'll have our first woman president for Rotary International. And while there have been many women that have been at the top of the candidate list over the last few years, we finally had one that's broken through. And with that, we want to make sure that, you know, 10 years from now, that she's still not the only woman president that we've had, that this is continued push and initiatives to make sure that, again, we can see that there's importance. Obviously, candidates are going to be chosen based on their merits and based on their value. But, you know, we want to make sure that every type of person, creed, gender, are seen and are heard for that opportunity. And we're making sure that that opportunity is always at the forefront.
So we know that a lot of associations are starting to make this topic more of a priority. What advice would you give to an association who is seeking to put new strategies in place and start to prioritize diversity, equity, inclusion within their association, internally within their staff, as well as externally with their members, opportunities for board positions, et cetera?
First thing will always be to seek help from a professional. I think a lot of times associations can try to just say, we can figure this out on our own and we'll just kind of patchwork things together to get to that point. And very possibly that could work. And, you know, I'm not saying that that's not an avenue, but if you're very new to the topic or very new to the scene, it's always good to seek out professional advice just to get those ground steps. Seeking, you know, how can we internally get this started, and then how do you get this out to a club level to be accepting? You know, you can't just push down an idea and, you know, shove it down an association's throat and hoping that they will adhere to it. It's really more of a buy-in type level. So being able to just seek that professional help. There's plenty of DEI specialists out there, wonderful people that you can work with. And so just seeking that help and seeking that advice is a great first step. And from there, it's really just forming it around how your organization flows. You're going to know, you know, different things that may not move the needle overall, or different things that may be a little bit tough to kind of push initially. And so make a small push. Don't try to throw the kitchen sink at the issue. Be within your own means and start small and then progress forward. If you're able to have good momentum, then continue to make a push. But if it's a slow pace, understand that you need to kind of pick it up, but don't try to force it. That's always a big piece.
So Tony, you talked about a lot of great things that you guys are doing. So I'm curious to hear what you've heard feedback-wise from internal staff, how they've responded, and how your membership have responded.
From internally, I think, you know, we've had a very good response. I think maybe some of the reason behind that is that a lot of the driving force on what we've done internally has been from the voices of the staff. So, you know, while we do have DEI specialists now and groups around the topic, we also solicited information back from the staff. What do they feel are high priorities within DEI? Because, you know, the hard part is you never want to just push what you think is important to somebody in that realm. You want to make sure that they're at least heard and have some say in that. From the club side, or just from the association side, I think, you know, we're still kind of new in the realm overall. So it's, you know, really what we, to get to the point that we have a global DEI task force, I think it speaks very big volume. So that there was not a lot of buy-in, but just buy-in that had to be met, members that had to be selected, and just making sure that we're hitting all aspects. So this, you know, we have members from Canada, the Netherlands, Kenya, Australia. So making sure that we're fully representative of our scope of our reach, so that we are not only touching, you know, this is not a North American problem. This is not, you know, just a European problem. This is a global problem. So we want to make sure that there's representatives in all areas that Rotary is currently in. And so having that kind of buy-in and having members from each of those different continents or countries just shows that they're prepared and fully engaged in the topic and fully engaged in making sure that it's a successful push down. I think over the next few years, we'll continue to see either based on membership changes or just feedback that we get. I think even from a social side, just being able to get that positive feedback on the social side will really just show that our initiatives and our push are for naught, that they really have an effect, and that, you know, that increase in membership or the diversity of our membership will show that it has been a successful push.
All right, let's come back to, all right, so final thoughts. We've talked a lot about some really successful programs you have. I like the idea that you pose of bringing that unbiased opinion. So we work in our own silos, our own organizations, and you just get kind of, you know, in a set lane, and you may not be able to be exposed to other opportunities to kind of ask questions and you know, get unbiased opinions about it. So I just want to leave it open the last few minutes with you and talk through any final thoughts, things that organizations can take away. You know, they listen to what Rotary has done and what your perspective is overall with the association. So what's something we can leave other organizations with?
I think the big thing is just making sure that that associations are milestoning, you know, their achievements. You know, I think, you know, what might not seem like a humongous deal at this very moment may be huge going down the line. And you don't want to forget that momentum that you had at any certain point in time. So being able to, you know, mark your progress, mark your milestones, and then continuing to celebrate those along the way, I think is extremely important. Just understanding that what you did 5 years ago is not, you know, the greatest thing that you did today, but it doesn't mean that wasn't great then and can't continue to be celebrated now. So continue that momentum, continue those pushes, and mark every milestone that you can, and go back and make sure that you celebrate that you made that progress, and then know that tomorrow that you'll do better.
Tony, thanks again so much for joining us. I think this has been really thought-provoking conversation, and you've given us some really good ideas and things to think about with regards to diversity, equity, and inclusion in associations. I think big takeaways here is that progress takes time, especially for associations that have been around for a long time. It's really going to be a collaborative effort, a top-down approach, and really putting a focus and emphasis on making this progress. I think associations can start to think about how to create opportunities to continue progress and celebrate the milestones along the way. Thanks again for listening. This has been episode 4 of Rethink Association, and we will talk to you again soon.